Hey everybody, just wanted to hop on real quick before the episode starts to let you guys know of a really cool opportunity that you should take advantage of. We are partnering with our lovely friends at Refocus Behavior to bring you guys a amazing BCBA exam prep. So if you're studying for your exam, looking for a fun way to get with other people, have an awesome individualized learning opportunity, relate these things to real things that are happening in your life, this is the exam prep for you. So it will be Fridays starting in January. It'll be a 10-week live exam prep. So you'll meet, you'll do all these things. And if you sign up now, you're going to get a $100 value. It's going to be a whole mock exam for free, you guys. So go on over to refocusbehavior.com, go to their professionals tab and sign up for this exam prep. There's only limited spaces, guys, and it's brought to you by me. So if you like the podcast and you want to learn from me, go on and sign up. Okay, everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Contingency Click. I have a guest with me today that is incredible. The first BCBA in the UAE, founder of the Sharifia Team Center, and a creator of a super cool app that we'll get to talk about later. Everyone, welcome. Sharifa, thank you for coming and talking to me today.
Hi, Stacey. Thank you so much for inviting me to your podcast. Oh, and I love that I'm able to be in your channel.
Yeah.
And hopefully I can talk to you all about my experience in the EBA world.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I will be honest with you. Normally I've done a bunch of these with like random, like all different types of people, BCBAs, mental health people, kind of like channeling all over the globe, but you are the furthest. And also you are someone I was kind of nervous before we signed on. I was like, I don't usually get nervous, but I'm so impressed with all that you've done that it got me a little starstruck.
Yeah, I've been working hard really within my career to really build the science around the region here. Mm-hmm. So I'm from Abu Dhabi, from the United Arab Emirates, aka people know about it as Dubai.
Yeah.
The Blink City. So I'm working there. I'm actually not the first BCBA, but the first Emirati that's actually from, you know, that is actually local.
Yeah.
We've got BCBAs coming along from different countries working for a contract and then they leave. But I'm actually from the United Arab Emirates. So that's exciting.
Yeah, that's very exciting. So you have such a great story, but I kind of want to talk about a few things. The first thing being your journey to be that person. So what, I know you have your, you know, degree in psychology focused in ABA, but what got you to the point where you were like, I want to do this. I want to practice ABA and I kind of want to go in that field.
Well, it was because of a parent, to be honest, you know, where I would, you know, we have this, what we call in the UAE, Majlis, which is basically where people come around. There is like a get together and I get to speak to parents and families. They get to know each other. And one of the parents actually was talking to me about her son. At that time, he was on the spectrum and I was actually stunned with what was autism, and then asked her like, how do you, you know, treat such a disorder. At that time, I had no idea. I was still in my psychology degree. And she told me about ABA. And I said, okay, where do they do that here in the UAE? She said, well, I actually get consultants from the US getting them in Dubai so that they can give me a program and train me, and then they would go back. So that to me was a shocker.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, we are a small country, but we developed so fast within this 50 years, right? Where our country is so new, we're only 50 years old. So we're kind of learning on the go. And as new generation come up, there are new things that we need to learn. So one of the things that caught my eye is this field. And I had to go read about it. Why don't we have it here in the UAE? How come no Emirati? And we always have like different fields and we get into different fields. So I kind of had this kind of, I don't know how to say it, like some kind of jealousy over anger over like, what are the kids going to do if this consultant wasn't there?
Right.
You know, I just felt like that's so unfair. And those families are desperate and they need someone that's bilingual that can explain to them in their mother language. So that kind of also pushed me. And coincidentally, funny enough, the course director of my master course gave us a talk about ABA in my psychology degree.
Wow.
And I was like, what? Isn't that coincidental? Like, well, this is funny.
It's too good to be true.
So, yeah. So I had to run to her and say, like, I need to get this to the UAE, you know, and I need to be the first one that brings this with bilingualism. And I'm sure that there are so many local families that can't speak in English. Mm-hmm. So they have very little resources. But that was back in 2005 or something like that. Right. So it was quite a long time. And since then, I kind of started to love the degree more and more. I worked in Ireland. I studied in Ireland. So I kind of started to learn how ABA was used internationally anyways. Mm-hmm. And then I got to work in the New England Center for Children here in Abu Dhabi. Funny enough, they had a branch here when I graduated.
Wow.
So I was exposed more. Mm-hmm. And I'm very grateful for the work that I've done with them. And I had the chance to go to Boston as well to do some internship there. So it was so nice. The journey was very incredibly, you know, a learning experience. Sure. I was just so glad that I chose something that I was able to give back to the community, because that's what was my goal when I was a kid. So I kind of felt like this is a calling for me. I don't know if this sounds very, you know, superstitious kind of stuff.
No, I love that.
You know, yeah, it's just like something that I felt like this is my call, that I have to do this. And I got to learn so much. And very interestingly, I got to see like conferences. I went to ABI conferences and got to meet so many awesome authors there. And it was just incredible, this journey of mine. So, and then at the end of the day, I started to learn more and started to be a consultant and went to the GCC around. And all of these opportunities that opened my eyes was due to the work that I've done with New England Center for Children. Mm-hmm. And I've started to speak about the science on social media, when social media started to boom.
Yeah.
And people started to have BBMs and Instagrams. And Instagram wasn't very popular back then. Right. So Facebook was the it thing.
Right.
Then Instagram came in, and that's when I was like, okay, I need to stick to one platform. I don't want to go crazy with all the social media. Mm-hmm. So since then, I started to reach out to many people and get to, you know, share experiences. Yeah, so it's been a wonderful journey, and I'm still learning. Yeah.
It's been, I mean, hearing that is interesting, and it's doing this podcast has brought together a lot of, I mean, ABA obviously is my focus, being a BCBA and all of that stuff and what I do in my profession, but this podcast has really turned into just the human experience, right? Behavior throughout just all of us. And it's interesting to hear your story because, again, on opposite ends of the world, there are similarities. Like, I didn't know anything about it. Then I found about it. And then it was like, wait, I'm supposed to do that. And it's so interesting, which I did not know about you. I just moved to where I live now in Savannah, Georgia, but I lived in Boston. So weird that you were there.
Wow.
What did you, I'm curious to see. So Boston is Massachusetts in general has a lot of services for children on the spectrum. That's what I was exposed to when I was there. I'm curious to think or to hear about your experiences where you are now and when you were in Boston. Like, did you see differences, similarities? What were things that you saw?
What caught my eyes was the services for teens and adults.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was just so incredible how much work, you know, they put into research and making inclusive employment.
Mm.
So that to me was very inspiring. And I said, I hope one day that we can be, you know, someone that could work on that field of services. And guess what? Now in 2022, we've had policies changing.
Right.
Because now we're becoming more, you know, inclusive in employment. And I've been talking about this now. I'm going to a conference where I'm getting, you know, be a speaker. So it's just so interesting that I saw it and I kept it and captured it in my mind and my heart and said, we need to do something, you know, similar that would be, you know, tailored to the culture here and the society and the community here, you know? So that to me was just, one of the things I felt like, wow, really awesome work.
That's awesome.
Since then, like I would tell the parents, like, go to Boston, you know, or any practitioners, go to Boston, see what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was a very interesting city to be in, and I loved it.
It's an incredible city for many reasons, but I like the idea of telling people to go experience other things, and that's been something that I think as I've gotten older, as I have lived in a few places, you see different things, good and bad, everywhere you go, but doing what you did and, like you said, keeping it in your brain and saying, like, okay, like, this is going to be something that I can tailor to our culture and do, you know, what we can here. I think that that's something that I'm striving to do myself, like, see what I can get from everyone, which, even speaking to you, like, what can we do? On your journey to do what you've done, right? Start your center, this app, all these amazing things that you've been able to accomplish. Speaking of, like, the culture and differences and all of that stuff, were there things that you came up against, whether good or bad, I guess, struggles or not, that kind of made it a little more difficult to get to where you are, being where you are? Or do you think that it was, you know, a path that you were able to take pretty easily?
I definitely was something new to many people, mm-hmm. you know, so just making people understand the difference between behavior modification and applied behavior analysis was itself and still is a struggle,
right?
And understanding science and what it is and evidence-based practices was something that was, you know, as if I'm talking gibberish. So since then, I've really learned how to start to build my Arabic vocabulary to be able to translate what I'm learning to make it, you know, in the mother language. So I think that part definitely was a struggle.
For sure. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, because we, you know, Arabic is a very complex language, mm-hmm. you know, and you really need to be careful in choosing the right words because one word can change the whole meaning. And one dot, when you write in Arabic, there's a lot of dots. Yeah. So one dot may change the whole meaning of a word.
Sure.
So I had to really learn how to do that. Other than that, like, soft skills that you don't get to learn in the universities.
No.
Right? Like negotiation or like even debating mm-hmm. or listening and accepting criticism of the field mm-hmm. and, you know, looking into how can you turn around and reply back to other professionals that they might feel threatened or maybe don't understand how similar we are.
Right.
And, you know, that's, yeah. So these kind of stuff that you get to encounter throughout the degree or your career, you know, like opening a center that there's no ABA as a profession for a center to be open calling themselves as an ABA-based center.
Right.
In Dubai, it's getting better, which is, I'm very proud of that. I'm seeing more and more places. They're getting policies changed and licensing for ABA. So that's brilliant.
Right.
But throughout my journey, I think one of the bigger things is that that people viewed as ABA is the American way for some reason.
Right.
And then when I came in with someone that is not, you know, that didn't have the complexion of someone coming from abroad, they would say, you know, how do you know all of this?
Sure.
And, you know, and the trust and building that trust in the community was a bit quite tough.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, so, but I think that the advantage of me studying abroad and having experience abroad and building my relationships with international, you know, practitioners really helped me to build that community that trusted my work, that mm-hmm. trusted what I'm saying. And, you know, so all of this stuff that I'm talking about, which is the soft skills, I think is something I think is so important a behavior analyst to learn mm-hmm. and to understand how to, you know, understand the culture before speaking up or speaking out.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's so important to first speak and have a group of people that can just chat with you and understand where they're coming from and what you understand about this field, mm-hmm. you know, and the questions that they may ask me and how I can, you know, use those questions to make it, you know, easier to understand.
Sure.
So these kind of stuff, I think that was a few of the challenges, and it comes here and there. It's all through depending on what phase I am in this career, right? Like if it was studying something, it's starting up with something, going and doing, you know, disseminating this information is something else, you know? So every part that I do have their own struggles, but it also has like the feeling of liberation when you do overcome those struggles, you know,
sure.
And you do, you know, and you just need to be, you know, persevering, believe in what you do, you know, and if you don't, then you need to work on yourselves first. And this is what I had to do. I had to go and listen to the critics and learn about what's their point of view. And it could be something that I might be seeing it differently and they are looking at it differently. And they might, you know, show me something. And it did, because I'm in both in psychology and in behavior analysis. So I get to work a lot with a psychoanalyst when I started to get my training in the as a psychologist. So there was a lot of this, you know, where the philosophy of behavior and human behaviors and emotions comes in, and how can, you know, people got the myth of ABA is that it's, you know, rigid, and all of these myths that I read on blogs.
Right.
So I always had those answers with me, you know, and saying like, ABA is not about ignoring emotions. You know, there's a whole different chapter that people barely touches,
right,
which I'm now trying to link it and getting and get more training in like ACT and, you know, curriculums such as AIM, finding, you know, programs that focuses on emotional regulations and stuff like that, that we can incorporate behavior analysis into the into those teachings. And, you know, so it's still a learning process for me, to be honest. And it's something that is requested as a behavior analyst, that we should also consider the teens and the adults and not just focusing on early intervention.
Right.
And here at the moment, it's all about early intervention, you know, which is great. You know, the early intervention before it wasn't even talked about, but now is
the start. Yeah. I think that what you're saying is as it's interesting, because you're trying to get people to understand just in general what ABA is at first. And then now, like here in the US, it's great. We know what that is in some places, but we're trying to then incorporate the ACT and all of those things, which is great. I love the journey that we're taking as a science, but that's got to be hard too on your end, because you just got them bought in and now it's like, okay, we're changing and we're developing and having to have them trust this process. So yeah, you're pushing a big ball up a hill right now, but I think that you're, you know, it'll all come together. Is there, and I don't know about this, so I guess my question is, you're saying that Dubai is getting better, there's more centers, there's these things. Are there families that, I know there are families that want services, because you said that's kind of what got you on this journey. Is it something that is, I don't know the words I'm trying to use, but is it something that's accepted as a culture, like to get services? Or, because I know that there's been some people that I've spoken to in other cultures where even acknowledging that there's a problem is something that's not accepted in their culture. So how does that, I mean, are there people that say like, okay, this is what we have, this is how we fix it, or how does that work?
So, I mean, as I said, like the UAE is a very new country, and it, you know, it has so much opportunities to learn new things. And due to globalization, we are prone to be flexible and we want to learn new things.
Nice.
You know, so whenever I get parents into my office, I would really ask them about, you know, do you know about ABA? And since they understand behavior modification, because it's been here for the longest time, I would, you know, say, okay, I would start discussing the differences. And from there, we would talk about all the different strategies. Right. And then the parents would say, that's something I do, you know, that's something we all do. And right. I said, exactly, you know, so I would really boil down the information into things that we see in our everyday life.
Right.
And I think that's the first thing you want to do before getting into, oh, it's a, you know, evidence-based practice, you know. And I think for families on which people that come to me, they understand that my name is connected with autism now. Sure. But that is great. Now I went to the next step, which is, right, you know, ABA. And I started to talk more about ABA. And guess what? Parents are starting to say, oh, I went to ABA. You know, and they started, now I'm very interested. Like I got called and say, like, the people tell me that you're doing ABA. I'm like, yeah, come in and let me tell you all about it. You know, I got a story for you.
Yeah.
Right. So it is getting more and more known. And also as the deputy vice president of the past president of the ABAI chapter, we have currently blabbing. So what I meant is that we currently have a chapter from the ABAI. Mm-hmm. So we also do, you know, lectures that we get people on the field, and they give us CEUs. But definitely it really helped to build that knowledge around the UAE. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm the co-founder of the chapter as well. So we really worked hard as a team to build that understanding. And so we did a lot of presentations, and because of my language, I was able to translate it and liquefy it into more Arabic, you know, that they can understand, and right. we can, you know, negotiate and talk about it and how this could be applied to, you know, your other kids and, you know, your husband. Yeah. And, you know, so it gets super excited at one point. The parents are like, oh, yeah, awesome. I want to do a degree on this, you know.
Yeah.
So it's all about how you approach it, I guess.
Sure.
And you'll see a lot of people wanting to learn more about it. You know, awesome. You get to see people searching more about it as well. So it's been a huge learning curve between 5 years ago, I have to say, and today.
Right.
You know, today is much more popular. People are now asking. They're also asking about certifications, which I'm so proud of.
That's great.
You know,
I wanted yeah. to bring talking about certifications in January of 2023, right? The board, the BACB, is no longer going to accept applications from anyone outside of the US and Canada. How does that affect you? How does that affect what you're doing?
Well, to me, actually, I got approached by many, many people in the Arab region, in the Middle East. Mm. Talking about what's going to happen to the BCBs. I'm like, well, I'm a BCBA and I'm fine.
Sure.
That's fine forever, but not the new people. And there are other boards that you guys can, you know, work with, mm-hmm. such as CABA and IBAO. Mm-hmm. And you guys can go forward and discuss about how you can work on your, you know, certifications. Certifications to me is important. Mm-hmm. I know that some people think, especially people that I'm talking to that are from the U.S., they would say, don't focus on certifications, focus on licensing and the ACE, you know, programs and coursework. But to be honest, with the field that's still growing,
sure.
you need to make sure the quality is still there. Mm-hmm. And if you say certifications are not important, you'll get to see a lot of people, you know, fraud people,
sure.
I have to say.
Yeah.
So how am I gonna differentiate people that bring to me their degrees? Mm-hmm. You know, how do I know that they've reached their competency?
Sure.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I said, right, there's plan B and C. You can go and, you know, reach out, see if you can do it. I can still supervise. It's great. They didn't close that.
Right.
So I can still supervise. I can still, you know, me as an owner, I do care about that.
Of course.
I do care about, did you get your certifications? If you didn't, sorry, you're not going to get the salary that you expect.
Yeah.
You're not going to be working with me. There are other places that would take people that's done, you know, a master's in ABA. Mm-hmm. And that's enough. Or did a 40 hours. Now that's the new fashion, the 40 yeah. hours ABA. And then they call themselves like, oh, we're like certified ABA. You know, I'm like, yeah. can I see your certifications? And then it's just 40 hours of lectures.
Right.
So it's just, you know, so I had to really differentiate myself from the other centers mm-hmm. that do use ABA as a way to attract families.
Sure.
And to me, I'm always like, gonna ask them about their certifications, and they should care about it. Mm-hmm. At least they have some kind of ethical conduct that they need to follow.
Right. And that's what,
until licensing gets better here.
That's what that I was going to say. It's interesting because, you know, here there's a lot more going on, and there are people that are doing bad ABA, and there will always be people that are doing bad ABA, and there's people that are doing great ABA. And I think that allowing people to, we've had a lot of conversations over the test and passing and becoming certified. And I just had a conversation about how, you know, some people it takes multiple attempts and some people it doesn't. And how does that make them as a practitioner and all these things. But I do think that it does matter, right, to get that, because especially for you trying to convince people, it's hard, right, then to say, okay, great, I'm going to start the center and I can just do it and I don't have to have any sort of credentialing. So I don't know how that's going to impact the rest of the world, but I wonder how that'll work. So
yeah, We'll
see.
Yeah. Well, I hope this will really push forward for licensing procedures. And we've been, as maybe a chapter, we've been pushing for this, and we've been working so hard. And, you know, and in the UAE, we're seven Emirates. Mm-hmm. So we all have logistics that we have to follow.
Sure.
And different, depending on where you're working, in which city, whether it's in Dubai or the capital, Abu Dhabi. So it all depends on this center. It's quite complex. Yeah. So it all depends on where you're licensed under, you know. So nevertheless, I'm still looking for people that are doing their certifications. Mm-hmm. And if they're not, I would tell them, go to CABA, go to IBAO, see which one is best for you. Mm-hmm. And then I need you to have the same language as me, you know. Yeah. I don't want to, you know, explain to you what's DTT. Or what's reinforcement, or how to use it, you know? I need you to have that information before I hire you.
Sure.
You know, it's, so
there has to be that. There has to be that knowledge base. Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that the licensure, they've started to do that here, where I was licensed in New York, and then I was licensed in Massachusetts, and then, you know, here in Georgia, we don't have a license yet. I think they're working on it, which that's a whole different thing to worry about, because I think they need to all get on the same page too, because for New York, it was horrendous. It still is. And I had luckily been able to get grandfathered in. Massachusetts, I pretty much just had to present them with all my stuff and pay a fee. And so it's just everyone kind of has their own procedures, which can be hard if you're like me, who I've been to multiple states, right? So I don't know what's going to be expected of me. So that kind of hinders me from some of that stuff. But I do think having those things are important. I wanted to mention, I was looking, and I think it's so awesome that you have created this app, and I wanted to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Can you tell us kind of what brought you to this and kind of what it has become?
Yeah. Oh, my God. The journey of Token Act. So tokens, you know, token, T-O-K-E-N, mm-hmm. at A-T. So basically, it's, you know, it's like a token board, but on your phone.
Cool.
Instead of laminating. So I kind of like thought about it when I was still working and, you know, as a therapist, and this idea popped up to me, and I was like, oh, I wish I just had an app for this, because I dreaded doing the token boards, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I have to make the tokens exciting and find characters and do all of this. It takes forever, you know, so
for sure.
So I just, you know, I just felt like, oh, I wish I had that. And then I just came up with the idea of like, well, how come I can do something like that? And I'm sure I can speak to someone that could help me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Like, I did it. And, you know, luckily I found someone that understood what I was talking about.
Right.
And now Tokenat is being used more than like 2,000 users. So that this is really incredible, and around the world. Like, that's, I got awesome. People from France talking to me. People from America and Miami. It's crazy. And I was shocked about it. But, you know, one thing I had to do is that I needed to make it for free.
Mm.
So anyone can download it, whether they have like iOS or Android, they can just download it. I also made a web-based one as well, so you can have a screen. We used it a lot when there was a lockdown and mm-hmm. COVID.
I'm sure.
So we really used it for like online. Mm-hmm. Learning, and we had the token board on the screen, and you can choose your tokens depending on what your kid loves, so you can individualize everything about it, like mm-hmm. even the background of the token board. Or I even introduced auditory reinforcers, so it has like a conditioned, you know, sounds that you regularly hear in games.
Wow.
So it kind of interesting to do research on, to be honest. Yeah. You know, no one ever talked about like auditory reinforcers. They only talk about tag.
Sure.
But I think there's so many other sounds that are already paired, you know, as reinforcers. So you have like ta-da, or like someone clapping whenever he gets a token. And then, you know, people started texting me saying, oh, my God, my son is walking in the moon and he's just excited to hear that ta-da kind of sound, or you go kind of, you know, sounds. Sure. It's hilarious. And I was saying, like, this is so much fun. And I started to expand it to make it bilingual. So this is the first bilingual token board as well. So that's I was so super cool. excited to see that. Yeah, so you can turn the token board into from left to right, and token starts from the left because you know Arabic yep. starts from the left side. So people that are Arabic speakers that are used to read and used to work on the left side, yep. you can have the token boards coming from the left side.
That's cool.
And yeah, so now you can switch the token boards to behavior token board. So you can switch it into a behavior board. So you can have five behaviors that you need to meet, and then you can get rewarded. So the screen would change into like fireworks once you collected all your tokens, and you hear that music when it comes out yeah. with fireworks. So the kids would do their victory dance, you know, and it would be hilarious. And the parents, the mothers would send me the videos of their kids saying, I'm a tokenette, you know? And it was just so amazing.
That's gotta be so reinforcing incredible. To you. Yeah. Just so like seeing.
And I'm still, yeah. And at the moment, I'm still looking for people that can support the program, support the app financially so that I can, you know, expand it into making it, you know, better and yeah. smoother. So yeah, it's been a journey and I love it. I love it.
And what a cool way to like help people, like you said, all around the world without even having to leave where you are. I love that. So yeah. I feel like there's such cool opportunities in speaking to you and what you're doing and seeing how, you know, you took something that wasn't even being talked about there and grew it into what it is now and so much to do. When we have someone on that talks to us, like a guest speaker, we usually end by asking how they think that, you know, people that are listening can continue to do what they've done. So you've made this big impact. If you were to talk to someone who was in your shoes however many years ago and wanted to do, looks up to what you're doing, how would you give them advice to kind of start their journey?
Well, one of the advices that I always told myself, because it's a very tough journey and I have to keep motivating myself mm-hmm. because no one understands what's going on in my head,
right.
Is that keep your passion, try to keep your passion, even if people don't believe in it mm-hmm. or find that, you know, you can find something better. You can get something better and get paid better. You know, of course you can, but how awesome would it be if you work on something that you're passionate about? And I had to say, like, Sharifa, stop complaining and start doing something, right? So I started with consultation. Then I started to open my own rehab center. And I opened recently my own institute so that I can bring people to give lectures about different topics. Mm-hmm. And give CEUs, which is thankfully now it's ACE approved by the BACB and hopefully with the other boards as well. So it's just like, Sharifa, stop complaining and just do it yourself. Even if we just started small, you know, you don't have to be this huge. And you get to see all those people having huge businesses and awesome things, you know. Just stay humble and just do what you love to do and everything else will fall into parts, yeah. you know. Everything will come together. People that will trust you, that believe in what your message is, will come to you. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need to think about every person and if they think that you're crazy or not. You know, you just need to stick to what you really believe in mm-hmm. and what you want to do and just keep that. Like I always say to myself, I'm going to get distracted. People are going to demotivate me. People are going to say this is new. You know, that the culture is very hard to break and whatever. I'm like, I don't care. Okay, I'm doing something I love to do yeah. and I'm enjoying it. So let it be, you know?
Let me have this. Yeah.
I think just let it be.
We've been talking a lot about that whole like living in your values and what you want to do. And I think that sums it up perfectly. If you are happy and you're making a difference for one family, which you're making differences for many families, but just having that, yeah. that is a good outlook. I love that outlook. And I want to end by letting you give everyone who's listening information on how they can find you. So your
yes.
social media and whatnot.
Yeah. So you can reach me on Instagram. It's Sharifa Yateem. I know it's very hard. It's an Arabic name.
I'm going to make sure that I put it all in our show notes too, so they can find that information there.
Yeah, I'm very active on Instagram because here in the UAE, we're more into Instagram than Facebook. Yeah. So you can throw me a message on Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter. But mostly I'm on Instagram. Right. I don't have a TikTok. I don't know if I will get into it, but I'm okay with four different social media programs. So. Awesome. Yeah, so thank you so much again.
Of course. I look forward to hopefully connecting in the future. If we ever, you know, I would love to come to that side of the world.
I really want you guys to come up to this side of the world, and it would be really nice to exchange experiences and learn from each other, definitely.
For sure. Well, thank you so much for this conversation, and everyone check out Sharifa and all she's doing. And I appreciate you for spending this, taking your time, and I will continue to keep up with what you're doing, and hopefully we'll connect soon.
Thanks, Stacey. And I'm going to teach you a new word in Arabic.
Yes.
It's shukran.
Okay. What does that mean?
Thank you.
I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Bye. Hey, Click, thanks for listening to our conversation with Sharifa. We also would like to direct you guys to go check out one of our sponsors, Hume House. They provide remote supervision. They have BCBAs with a variety of experience and background, so you can find the supervisor that best fits you. Unrestricted, group supervision, all those things are included and available. So check them out at whomehouse.com, and thanks for listening.